This is WKSU News. I'm Kabir Bhatia. Businesses in Ohio are reopening and schools are making plans for this fall. But you've still got questions about the future of telemedicine and when and how libraries will reopen in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Sarah Taylor from the WKSU Newsroom joins me to answer those questions and more in this week's edition of Oh Really. Our first question this week is about libraries.
We've gotten a lot of questions about when exactly they might reopen. Jane Braddock from Fredericksburg asks,
if there had been any talk about when libraries may be open to the public again after the shutdown here. I am the director of the Fredericksburg Community Library. We are a small, independent community library that is completely staffed by volunteers and completely supported financially by the community. It's very hard not seeing the people, but it's equally or even harder not to be able to provide the services to people. Children's programs that we haven't been able to have, and our summer reading program will look very different this year, downscaled quite a bit. And so our community has been so supportive, and they know we're there, and they know we'll be back. So I'm encouraged by that.
For the answer, we asked Michelle Francis, head of the Ohio Library Council.
Every local community in Ohio is different, and it's not really about when, it's more about how. We are very fortunate in that Ohioans love their public library system. We know that we have the highest public library use per capita in the nation. And so, for our public libraries, we know that we are the center of the community and the crown jewel of our local communities. And so they are doing their best that they can. They want to ensure that it is a safe space, not only for the patrons, but also for their employees. And so they're all quickly working to prepare their public spaces. Many have been providing curbside service, drive-through service, walk-up locations, all of those services the past couple of weeks to try to transition and get prepared. But public libraries, just like any other institution that is reopening, has to make sure that they have enough PPE on hand and that they have the barriers in place, that they are doing administering the social distancing, all of those factors. And all of those factors have to be taken into consideration to make sure that they can prepare the space for the public.
Our next question comes from Jay Clemmy from Worcester.
I am a retired but still volunteering dermatologist. My question is, what is anticipated for changes in the structure of medical practice if telemedicine sticks with us post-COVID-19?
That's a good question. I know many of us have used telemedicine for the first time during the coronavirus pandemic, and there's no going back in some cases for non-emergency care. J.B. Silvers, a healthcare finance professor at Case Western Reserve University, offered his thoughts on what the future looks like for online care.
Once Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, it was sort of an obvious thing to do. But we haven't gone very far down that path in healthcare, I think, for two primary reasons. One, we didn't know how to pay for it. Calling somebody up, talking to your doctor on the phone and not getting paid for it isn't a good business model. And secondly, physicians didn't like it, clearly related to the first. In this pandemic period, we've just overcome both of those in a period of 3 months, and we're not going to go back. So getting paid the same for a telemedicine versus a face-to-face, it takes that one away. And it turns out patients and surprisingly doctors actually like that kind of interaction. In some areas, it's actually advantageous. So to see the patient in their setting where they are, particularly if they're homebound, is huge. In the behavioral services, I think most people in that area actually think it's better. People are opening up more. They're willing to talk more. Some data I just saw recently from a hospital showed that the satisfaction levels actually were higher on a telemedicine visit than on a face-to-face one, which I thought was astounding. The question is the ultimate outcome better if you allow that level of access than if you don't? And I think the answer is going to be mixed, but largely positive. For some things, from a financial point of view, institutions are going to find they get lower revenue. They don't do the ancillary test and all the other stuff that happens when you go to an outpatient setting face-to-face. But on the other hand, you may do more of these. So the volume of visits may go up significantly here. And I think the actuaries for the insurance companies are very nervous about which one of those is going to win. They're going to hedge their bets by assuming it's going to be higher. The cost will be higher. They'll want to file for higher insurance rates. But I'm not so sure that we might find out that this might actually be a cost-saving method.
Our next question is from Barbara Bucer of Brunswick Hills. She's wondering what to do if people are planning events over the summer, maybe for Independence Day.
She wants to know if people will have to self-isolate before or after. Here's Summit County Public Health Medical Director Dr. Erica Sobolewski with her opinion.
Well, that's an interesting approach, but certainly there's no guidance at this point in time for any type of self-isolation prior to events. You know, I think what we're really trying to communicate is for everyone to really assess their own risk. Everyone needs to know what their own risk is and what risk they're willing to take, and they need to guide their exposures based on that.
That's it for this week's round of questions. We hope we've been able to provide some useful insight for you during the coronavirus pandemic with these weekly question and answer sessions.
We love hearing from our listeners, and as Ohio reopens, we hope to answer more of your questions.
Keep sending in your questions on any topic, and we'll try to answer them. You can visit WKSU.org or use our app. I'm Sarah Taylor.
And I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.